Again, before I start, children, great job with your song today. Thank you for being here, Sunday school kids. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Now, it was something new and exciting. A parade was forming. Everyone started to run to see what was happening. The people started to stretch their necks to see over the person in front of them. The young children crawled between the legs of the adults to see if they could gaze upon what was truly happening. Then everyone saw it. A man riding on a donkey. And there were people racing in front of the man on that donkey, throwing palm leaves and clothes in the path of the man riding on that donkey. People started to shout, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The crowd that gathered along the way started to catch the excitement, and they began to shout and run alongside of the parade. As they were running, some in the crowd turned to one another and asked, "Who is this man? Why are they shouting our hosannas? Is he a king?" And the other turned and said, "Yes, we think he is a king, the king of the Jews. See, he is riding on a donkey, as it says in Scripture that the Messiah is truly to come." And the two of them ran off with the crowd caught up in the excitement of that moment. And we can be like that too, caught up in the excitement of the moment, as seen in this following story I share with you. A young man walked up the sidewalk toward his home late on Friday afternoon, and he was greeted by his two children, one a 5-year-old and one a 3-year-old. They laughed and they bounced with more than the usual amount of excitement. "Daddy, Daddy," the 3-year-old girl said. She said, "There's a whoomph." The 5-year-old boy stuffed his palm of his hand into his sister's mouth. The 3-year-old wrenched free. Still her eyes were sparkling, pushed her brother's hand aside and said, "Daddy, Mommy, and Jason and me have got a whoomph." Again, the brother covered her mouth. Followed by these firm words from this 5-year-old boy, "Sarah, if you don't keep quiet, Daddy's going to know that there's a surprise party for him inside the house." Now, after a moment of that awesome silence, the 5-year-old flushed. Dad artfully pretended not to have heard a word. He hugged both children, and laughing together, all three raced into the house for the party. The young children could hardly contain themselves with the excitement at that very moment. They knew something exciting was going to happen, and they could not hold it inside. Now, when the people in Jesus' day saw him riding into Jerusalem that day, they knew also that something exciting was happening. They knew that Jesus was riding as the Messiah would, and they thought they knew what that meant. They thought it meant that it would be free from the Romans. They thought it meant that Jesus was going to be their king. So they got caught up in the excitement of the moment, and they celebrated, rejoiced at the picture of which was forming in their mind's eye. A picture of a king who would save them. A picture of a reborn nation. A picture of people who would be free to be a mighty nation again. So they celebrated. They danced in the streets. They shouted hosannas. And then, just a few short days later, that same crowd cried, "Crucify! Crucify! Crucify him!" They learned that the picture which was developing in their mind's eye was not the picture that Jesus was painting for himself. You see, the dreams of that Palm Sunday were soon turned into stark realities of the betrayal, the trial, and the crucifixion. Their dreams were paraded down the streets of reality. The reality of the situation was Jesus was not the kind of hero they had hoped he would be. Jesus was not the King of Kings to lead an earthly army. Jesus would not deliver the Jews from the Romans. Their dreams of who Jesus was turned into the reality of Jesus as a heavenly Messiah, which they could not fully understand. Even Jesus, as he rode into Jerusalem, wept for his beloved city, as it says in the Luke's Gospel version of the entrance into Jerusalem. For he knew the dream of this day would turn into the reality of pain, death, and suffering. During that week that followed this great triumphant ride into the city, Jesus spoke of the realities of who he truly was. Remember, Jesus cleansed the temple. He told the temple's demise. He told of the coming of the Son of Man. In a sense, he shattered the dreams of the people that day. He told of the reality of what was to come, the reality of death. The crowds of Good Friday turned against Jesus for one reason, because he did not fulfill the dreams they had of him that Sunday before, that you just improvised today of marching in to the city to place your palms in Jesus' path. You see, Jesus had them see the reality of who he was, not an earthly king, but of an heavenly king. You see, Jesus was not a warrior who would come to destroy the Romans, but Jesus was a warrior who would come to destroy death. He shattered the dreams of people. He gave them a taste of reality, and for that, sadly, the people turned against him. You see, Jesus was painting a picture of a suffering Messiah, a Messiah who would suffer for the sins of all people. And the people cried, "Crucify him," because they could not understand that he was to be the suffering Messiah. They cried, "Crucify him," because Jesus did not fulfill their expectations. They cried, "Crucify him," because Jesus had let them down. They cried, "Crucify him," because they wanted a warrior king who would lead them in to battle. But Jesus was the lamb who was to be sacrificed. The people missed the point, and they were angry. And I ask you this morning, what about us? Do we get the point? Or are we like the boy in this following story? Now, a bunch of kids one summer afternoon were involved in a peewee baseball game. When one little guy came up to the plate, he looked over to the coach for a signal. The coach signaled sacrifice bunt. The little kid promptly proceeded to take three big swings, but he struck out. The coach ran up to him afterwards and he said, "Did you not see me give you the signal to sacrifice?" "Yes," the boy replied, "but I didn't really think you meant it." Is that how we react to Jesus? We really don't think you meant to be the suffering Messiah. Are we like that crowd way back then, still wanting to Jesus to be that conquering warrior? Or do we get it? Do we truly understand? Do we understand that instead we get a Messiah who gives us power, all right, but it's a whole new kind of power. It's the power of suffering love. And I want to get closer into that suffering love, what that looks like. So many years ago, and maybe some of you, because I've seen people that they grew up here in Roseau, and then they moved back. So maybe you were attending one of these youth gatherings. The Northwestern Minnesota Synod used to have these gatherings for senior high and junior high. And we'd have like 500 to 750 people show up in the spring. So when I started way back here in Roseau in 1997, we would go to like St. Cloud, Fargo, Duluth. And one weekend, it was actually Palm Sunday weekend that it fell on. And we'd have these bands that come in any time. And you might have heard of the late Peter Ide. Amazing guy, just truly. I met him first at Concordia College, and he went on to be this performer for a Christian singer. And unfortunately, he lost a battle to cancer. It's almost getting to be 2 years now. And so I was his stage manager, and I'll remember him, and I'll never forget this. Peter wasn't just there to play music. He was there to spread the gospel. He was there to spread the love of Jesus and who Jesus was. So he talked about the suffering love, and I'll never forget this. I'm sitting here, and you know, you hear this all the time, that remember, Jesus died on the cross for you. But then he asks us this question. He said, and he's talking to all of us, but I'm going to use my name, so it'd be like God coming up to Jay and saying, Jay, I got a proposal for you. You have a lovely family. You have Rachel, and you have your son and your daughter, Tyler and Haley. And now I have a grandchild, too, and Freya. But long story short, he said, here's the deal. I got two choices for you. You can either save your family, or you can save everyone else in the whole world. What are you going to do? And I thought about that, and I never thought about that in that way. And he wasn't trying to force or play that fire and brimstone type. What he's trying to make us realize in that room that day of how much love God came down in Jesus to take all of our sins to the cross. And he said, I know if that was me, I would have picked Rachel, Tyler, and Haley, because I'm human. I would pick my immediate family, and it doesn't mean anything against all of you or the whole world, but that's a lot to ask one person. And right there, I got it. How much powerful Jesus' suffering love is of what truly marching to that cross truly meant of the sacrifice to save all of us. It's a power also that looks us in the eye, forgives our sins, our fears, our anger, our resentment, our prejudice. It's also a power that didn't assert itself ever over and against us, but it died for us. It's a power that sets us free from all that which is within us, that dehumanizes us. It's a power that loosens our grip on all of our expectations and even allows us to see Christ's face in the least and most lowly on this planet. And it's a power that relates in grace and invites us to join with him in being one of his special grace givers. It's also a power that assures us we don't need to be afraid of suffering, self-giving love, because it's the only way we will ever fulfill our humanity and find our purpose and experience true joy, love, and peace. And you've heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote this, and I quote, Dietrich says, God allows himself to be edged out of the world and onto a cross. And that is the way, the only way, in which he can be with us and help us. Only a suffering God can help. The crowds on that first Palm Sunday wanted a warrior king, but Jesus came as a suffering Messiah. Jesus came as one who would die on the cross for the sake of humankind. The crowd missed the point, didn't they? The crowd thought that they knew, but they really did not that day that Jesus marched into Jerusalem. So I ask you again this morning, what about us? Do we get it? Is Jesus the suffering Messiah for us? Or are we still looking for that warrior king who will turn the world upside down? Do we see Jesus this morning as the suffering Messiah who did turn the world upside down for our sake and continues to shape the world with his sacrificial love and grace? A parade gathers. We see Jesus coming. But what do you see? Amen.